Welcome to Listen to Real Coaching Volume 6. This is Sherry Boone with Jamie Tenzer, and we're happy to present this masterful coaching session with Walt Hastings, MCC. This session was recorded as a part of the Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged series. Take note of the way Walt seamlessly establishes the agreement, making sure to fully explore all aspects of the agreement and helping his client identify a clear outcome for the session with a natural conversational style.
So everyone, we invite you now to sit back and listen in to this coaching session. Walt and your client, thank you so much for joining us today. And when you're ready, Walt, please begin your coaching.
Thank you, Jamie. Hello, Jake. Are you there?
Hi, Walt. I am here.
Good. Thank you so much for your willingness to be a part of this.
Okay.
I guess in a way you and I both are guinea pigs. So let me ask, how are you?
I would say I'm checking in encouraged and a little stressed today. Yep.
And encouraged and a little stressed. What's the stress all about?
Oh, just some changes happening in our organization and just trying to figure out what's the best path that God wants for us here in our church. So,
okay. So you're a pastor of a church.
Yeah.
Where would you like to focus our conversation today?
Well, I think probably best to focus on a staff member that just recently resigned, who has handled a lot of the administration for our church, and kind of how we can best move forward in replacing her and what's best for the church in that.
Okay, so a key staff member has resigned, and you're wondering, how do we fill that gap?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. What do you want to have at the end of our conversation that you don't have now?
You know, I'd say a more clear definition of what we're looking for in this next role, because the role itself might change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then some clarity maybe on who we can, maybe some next steps for who we can approach, because I'm pretty sure we're going to go within our organization to find someone else. So as far as gifting and what we should be looking for in the next person. So
you want to sort out the key qualifications for your next hire?
Yep.
Okay. Now, Jake, as you think about this, what are the key points that we should be sure and address to make this conversation complete for you?
You know, I think just helping to define in this next, maybe in the past and then in this next era of this administrator, what we're hoping to have this person do and maybe add some additional tasks to their plates and take some away that had been done. And I think that's helpful, just even in defining what we're looking for. So what are we asking this person to do, I think, would be good to clarify.
Reviewing the responsibilities of this new hire.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Anything else?
Yeah, I think there's a question as well as to whether this should be two people, because there's a bookkeeping element involved to it, a financial gifting that that may need to be a part of it as well. So we may hire two people to replace one part-time person, which seems like splitting it up quite a bit, but I think that's an important distinction to try to get figured out as well.
Yeah, that sounds like a significant change.
Yeah.
Anything else we should talk about?
I think that's it.
Okay. Say a bit more about why this is important to you, perhaps how this impacts the work that you do.
Well, I'm a lead pastor and the administrator. I've been here a little short of 2 years, and the administrator really facilitates a lot of what goes on in our church, from assisting me with various responsibilities, helping to communicate with our church body at large, helping other ministry leaders like children's ministry and worship ministry and youth ministry get the things that they need. That's what the role has been, is very much a facilitating of how our whole church runs, as well as the financial tracking part of bookkeeping on the revenue side, and managing our budget in QuickBooks, and all the ins and outs of payroll and receivables and payables as well. So she's been really a great blessing to our church and to me personally. And
yes.
really sad to see her go.
Sure.
Still going to be a part of the church, but it's something we need to figure out, because I've gotten a timeline from her. As of January, she wants to begin to transition. So we need to be looking for someone so that she can train this new person in. So, yeah.
So there is a kind of a pressing deadline. Otherwise, I would guess your plate is going to get a lot more full.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to say about why this is so crucial?
I think as we have the role structured now, I mean, it really is an administrator assistant to me that helps me with so many things and is able to protect my time for what is really important as a pastor, and to deflect some things from me as a gatekeeper, and just to help me manage my time so I can study and then be with people. And so I really value this person, whoever would be in that role. And the other thing is they have to be really trustworthy, because they see a lot of the things that happen in the church life, and need to not gossip about it. And they see financials, and need to be able to be trusted in that way too. So it's a pretty big role.
Yes, as you talk, I'm seeing the responsibilities and the kind of things you're looking for has certainly enlarged in my mind as you spoke.
Sure. It is a big role.
Okay, so let's just kind of pause here and review. You want to look at this person's responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You want to define the criteria, the characteristics you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a timeline here. Sounds like it's about 3 or 4 weeks out that you want to mm-hmm. have somebody hired. How close
mm-hmm.
is
that? Yes, yeah, very close, yep.
Okay. Where do you want to begin, Jake?
We only got 25 minutes, Walt. Oh, shoot. That's going to go quickly. I think the responsibilities would be good. I think it would be good just to decide on, since this person has carried so much, what we would maybe be looking and for the new person to do, serving in that role. There's probably some non-negotiables that we really need, and maybe to start with those would be good.
Okay. What are the non-negotiables?
I would say for the admin person in a part-time role, I would say 12 hours a week. To be able to answer phones, to communicate with the church, to be able to update our website, edit audio files, to manage the church calendar, to to coordinate needs with church members and ministry leaders to help ministry leaders from time to time with the things that they need, resources, I think those are some of the keys that just jump off the page for me. And then I think there is the financial part then on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly think we could train someone to manage QuickBooks and do what she has done. But it may be more than someone wants to do, or we may be limiting our pool by trying to do that. I did talk with a person who's a part of our church the other day, and he's actually a CPA who is unemployed right now and looking for some part-time book work. And so I really kind of believe that God brought him to my path pretty intentionally at a time I didn't expect. I just walked into a different coffee shop after a meeting, and he was there, and we began talking, and it led to him talking about looking for work as a CPA. So, and he said he's willing to consider that. So, yeah, just trying to discern what that would be, if it's smart to break those two things apart or not.
You sense some divine activity here.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. So, God is working for you, not against you.
Yes, it's encouraging to hear that, isn't it? Yeah.
An amazing thought.
Yeah. He's good.
So, what is your role in this versus what is God's role?
Oh, man, those who are listening, Walt coaches me with this question often, which is a really good reminder for me. I'm a pastor who's been to seminary, and I need to be reminded of with this question. I think God wants me to trust him, that he's going to bring the right people to be a part of this, and I struggle to do that at times, and being willing to ask people the questions if they'd be willing to be a part of it and have conversations with them and with some of our other leaders. I think that is my role, but ultimately trusting God that he's going to bring the right people in the right places over the next couple of weeks. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jake, the list of responsibilities, honestly, it sounded kind of daunting. It was a long list of non-negotiables.
Well, those are all things that I don't really want to have to do myself. Yeah.
Okay. Who is supporting you in this?
There's also a creative design element to this, Walt. I forgot to share that for our visual graphic. I'm going to write that down right now. Who is supporting me in this?
Yeah.
We have a group of deacons who are elders in training that are walking alongside me in this. We just found out a few days ago, so we talked about it initially last Thursday. So they're helping in the process, so I'm not alone, which is good.
How will the final decision be made?
I think we'll need to have clarity and unity together as a group of those leaders that I mentioned before, on the best way to go, on the way God wants us to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think until we're in unity, we probably won't move forward in a specific direction. So,
mm-hmm. We're talking about consensus.
Consensus. Yeah. Yeah.
What to you is the most challenging aspect of this?
Um, You want to know honestly?
No, I want to know dishonestly.
We came here a little less than 2 years ago, and our admin, who's been here for about 7 years and through a lot of tumultuous times, knows so much about everything that's gone on, and we're making lots of changes in the church. And so I think the most challenging part is the fear of she knows where a lot of documents are at. She knows where a lot of historical things are, and she really has helped to make the church run, even in the absence of a pastor for the last 7 years off and on. And so she's done a great job, and I, like you said earlier, I'm concerned my plate will become more full quickly.
And frankly, things might just fall apart.
Well, I mean, some stuff might get dropped, that's for sure. for sure. So, but, you know, I told her when she shared with me, I my greatest concern is for her personally, and she's burnt out and has had to deal with conflict quite a bit. And so I told her I supported very much the decision for her to step back and get some space. And I care about her as a person more than her as an employee. And I think it's what's best for her. And so, I think in many ways that it is another challenging part of the decision that this could be a role that looks a little different with the next person. I think, you know, having someone who's burnt out in the role affects a little bit of the way they do it as well. And I think God could use it for the good of our admin who's stepping back and for the good of the church and the person who's stepping into that role, maybe bringing a healthier perspective in serving in that way. And that's challenging in thinking, you know, we don't need to replace this person with the exact replica of our current admin, and maybe it needs to be a position that has some new focus to it. And part of that depends on the gifting of the person, you know, stepping into it as well. So,
How does her resignation and the way she resigned impact the hiring of the next person?
You know, it was a good transition. The fact that she's willing, because she knows so much, she's willing to stay on through January and to help train and educate. And this, I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that need to be communicated. So I appreciate her heart in wanting to help in that way. That's a great blessing. So, but the impetus is there that we need to find someone.
Yeah. How are we doing so far in our conversation at achieving what you wanted to?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
Okay. Where do we go now?
You know, you mentioned God working for me and us as a church with the bringing of the financial person. You know, I think wrestling with whether we should just commit to split this role in two, I think is important. Maybe there's no more conversation needs to be had on that, but it is something that I have wanted to seek clarity on. So,
how could you get clarity on that?
I think I think the conversation with our leaders sparked some clarity. I think we even entertained going outside of our church to like a CPA firm to handle part of that responsibility. And then I connected with this guy who's in our church. So I think there was some consensus even already before that, just because we knew that unless you're pretty well skilled in QuickBooks, that this is going to be a fairly daunting task for someone who maybe does not have that skill set? Because like you said, it's a wide range of gifting that is needed, and someone who has creative design gifts and is good with people may not be great with QuickBooks. And so I think to set it up for our church, maybe to have the best possible person in this support role, that maybe it makes a lot of sense to me to be able to outsource or have a separate person deal with the books on a weekly basis.
Sure.
Makes a lot of sense to me. So I didn't answer your question, but I think some of our decision makers are already trending in that direction. So
one of the things you said we should talk about was the criteria and qualifications. It occurs to me that if you make this job, you split it into two people instead of one, that dramatically impacts the criteria for the kind of person you're looking for.
Right, exactly.
So how does that impact our conversation today?
Well, I think it makes it hard to sit on the fence, I think, on this financial piece, because I think a decision is needed, because otherwise it's hard to group both of them together and to seek to understand the qualifications of the support person, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was structured this way in the past just because they needed someone and she was willing to learn. But these are two pretty different skill sets, I would say. I've not been a part of a church before where the support staff admin was also the bookkeeper in that way. It's been exactly the opposite in every other church I've served in. So,
yes.
Yeah. So I think, if that's the decision, then I think being able to have clarity around the communications, you're talking about criteria, I think the time necessary for this person to give each week, the communication skills and background, the technological understanding, and it doesn't need to be huge, but somewhat of understanding web development a little bit and creative gifting and the ability to hold things in confidence and communicate well with the church and with other leaders to facilitate giving them what they need. Those would be all the top criteria, I would say, that would rise to the top. So largely written and oral communication, as well as being discreet and trustworthy. Those mm-hmm. would be the top of the criteria, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What steps are you thinking might need to be taken out as a result of this conversation?
I think we need to get a revised role description in place for this person, this new person, of these criteria, and talk with our decision makers about those criteria, and then begin the conversation with a couple of people who are within our church that may be able to fill that role and serve them that way. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm hearing three distinct steps. How clear are you on those?
You could repeat them while I type if you'd like.
Well, in view of that we only have a minute left, let's forego that for now, could we, Jake?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think I've got a pretty good handle on clarifying the criteria and consensus with the decision makers, and then conversations with people who might be prospective staff.
All right. Let me invite you just to reflect back, Jake, and share. What value have you gotten in these last 25 minutes?
Good value, Walt. Yeah, it's been helpful to be able to discern a little bit of what we're looking for and the importance of this role and the freedom to think a little bit of outside the box too, from what had been done to maybe creating a different role that might serve the church even better for the future. So.
It sounds like you broadened your thinking about the whole area and responsibilities.
Yes, you bet.
Any insights that came to you about yourself?
I think just an encouragement that I can trust God, that He's working to provide even when it's discouraging and you're organization has setbacks. I think that's encouraging. You used the phrase God was working for me,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's good.
Okay. Anything else we need to say or talk about to make this conversation complete for you?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Jake, for your willingness to serve as our client on this call.
You bet. You bet. Do you want me to get off the line then?
No,
and those who are directing, or
stay on, and we'll turn it back over.
Okay, great. Thank you, Walt, and thank you to your client also. This is Sherry, Walt.
Okay.
What a beautiful session. I always love to listen to your coaching.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Very nice session. You know, I think you are such a master at creating the coaching agreement. And I noticed in this session, Walt, that it actually went along for the first 7 minutes of this session, how you beautifully and artfully asked the questions, you know, partnered with your client to create such a clear and focused coaching agreement. And I wondered, I know this is something that I've really been paying attention to lately, and with students, with coaches, and I wondered if you, Walt, would just describe for us how you do that, I'm asking lots of questions here about this, but first of all, yeah, would you describe how you do this, you know, what's important about it here, and how you create this agreement with your client?
I think the coaching agreement is extremely important because without getting a clear, solid agreement, you're doing nothing more than having a friendly conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So the coaching conversation is all about moving forward in some ways.
Yeah.
And we can best serve the client by making it clear in both of our minds what they desire to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the PCC markers here are very helpful. There are five of them, and the first four have to do with the initial coaching agreement. So the first thing is getting out on the table what the client wants to accomplish. The second thing is making it clear what the measures of success for the conversation will be.
Mm-hmm.
The third one has to do with exploring why this is important to the client. And then the fourth thing is exploring the various aspects or points that should be covered. The fifth PCC marker is simply to stay on track and making sure that you're serving the client well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, again, I just think you do such a nice job with that, sort of weaving those questions in, you know, asking him, what do you want to have by the end of the conversation? What are the key points we should be sure to address? And then also, I noticed you said, let's pause and review what you want here.
Yes.
And then you said, okay, where do you want to begin? And that was, again, after about 7 minutes of that process and that exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So really nice coaching. So for you all, how was this today? What What was this session like for you?
I enjoyed it. It felt like I was in my element. I think the key point was when Jake acknowledged that God was at work, that it wasn't just his decision, but that the God he serves was working to help them get the right person.
And then you just picked right up on that. You heard him say that, yeah.
Yes.
And you picked right up on that and asked him that question, what is your role and what is God's role?
Right, uh-huh.
And it sounds like you've used that before from what he shared with us.
Yes, he has, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So really nice, such a beautiful session, Walt. I'm going to bring Jamie in. Jamie, do you have a question for Walt?
Yeah, I have a question and also just an acknowledgement, Walt. The way you ended the session, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. Just,
okay.
You know, it's the exploration piece and your great questions and all that, and then it gets to the part about, so how are we going to take this forward? You know, and I think that you do an amazing job of just having that be, you know, you still stay in the rhythm and the tone of the coaching, really inviting your client to decide how to take that forward and create those steps. And then even after you asked him, you know, what he was taking away, and he answered, and you asked him that last question, did you have any insights about yourself, you know, which I thought was just a great final question to kind of, you know, just tie up the session. And I just really admire your ability to hit all the key points of a good coaching session. You know, Sherry was talking about the agreement, but also, you know, managing progress and accountability and all the other stuff that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And maintain the tone of the coaching, that it's really being led and driven by your client all the way through to the end. So, you know, maybe I don't have a question for you. I just wanted to acknowledge that and say I love that last question. And I wonder if, well, here's a question. I wonder if knowing that you were coaching in front of the room, so to speak, if that changed anything for you, or if you were able to kind of get into your normal rhythm and shut us all out?
Well, I kept reminding myself before we started that I did not want to get into a performance mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like I was able to do that fairly well, because once we started, I gave my full attention to Jake and almost forgot that there was an audience listening.
Yeah,
I guess you call that coaching presence.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you were fully there with him. Really nice session, Walt. That was great.
Thank you.